There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's Occasional Invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Throwaway game,
it's
high stakes.
No, absolutely. Every opportunity on the court matters, and you know, when, like I said, with the opportunity to play more and get those extended looks, you know, we look at everything as coaches. It's opportunity for them, and who can kind of handle themselves in a high pressure situation against a good opponent. So, yeah, although some guys were missing for us, we were in the game and had opportunities. We wish we could have, you know, got off the ball and not played in the crowd a little bit and got a better shot opportunity up. But for those guys to play meaningful minutes, you know, and then deliver like they did was a good sign.
The undermanned Houston Rockets, led by Ime Udoka, did have a noble loss last night. Yes, in a game where they gave up 137 points, and yes, in a game where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 51 points. It's the fourth time he's had 50-plus points in the last 7 weeks, which is insane. He has been awesome. But a game like last night was a noble loss for these Houston Rockets. I don't want to call it a moral victory. That is the closest I'll go to calling it a moral victory. And you heard Vanessa asks Ime Udoka the question right there. Hey, like, this wasn't a throwaway game. There were some real things to take away from it. Reed Shepard got his first career start, and he was awesome. And now you wonder, okay, can we see a little bit more of him than Aaron Holiday going forward? Cam Whitmore was awesome. One of the coolest dunks I've seen in a while on a steal and just 100 miles per hour down the court dunk that he had to make the game very close with about 10 minutes left or so. There's some good things to take away from last night's game. But I just think it's lame, especially with the confirmation today, that clearly Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, that Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and on top of that, Tari Eason and Steven Adams.
Jalen Green,
and all these guys who did not play in last night's game. Who else did I miss? No, VanVleet is the only one who won't be in tonight's game against the Pacers. All these guys are back again for the game against the Pacers. After missing last night's game, I hate that sports have started to accept that guys can just sit out games. It's lame to me. These guys paid a lot of money. And if you want to watch every single game, you want to see the stars play in every single game. I thought there were rules to combat this, and I think it's very clear the Rockets pulled a fast one here. The NBA has rules as of last year that limit how often star players can rest. Only one star player can rest per game. What if all your good players, what if all your starters rest for a game? Star players must play in nationally televised games. It was on NBA TV. Teams should balance the number of one-game absences for star players at home. Avoid long-term shutdowns for star players. Healthy players resting for a game have to be visible to fans, and if you don't do this, you get fined $100,000 for your first violation, second $250,000, an additional $1 million afterwards. NBA should look into this. They won't because Adam Silver's a pushover, but they should look into this if they care at all about actually getting these guys to play in every single game. The problem is, I don't think they really care all that much. They made a grand show of trying to implement change back before the 2023-2024 season by putting in rules that made it so that you're not allowed to rest every single game, and you have the rules where you have to play at least 65 games to get awards and all NBA honors and all that stuff. But I think it's just lip service, and I don't think that the NBA has any teeth to enforce these rules that they put in, hoping that it would make people less turned off by the fact that guys regularly sit out games. I took a look just at the guys in terms of total games played who lead the league in points over the last couple of seasons. And at the very top of the list, Luka Doncic played in 70 of 82 games. Giannis played in 73 of 82 games. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played in 75. Jalen Brunson, 77. Kevin Durant, 75. Devin Booker, 68. Jason Tatum, 74. De'Aaron Fox, 74. Steph Curry, 74. Nikola Jokic, 79. We're just taking a look at the top 10 players in the NBA. It's not like you're seeing them miss every single game, but you do a little math. Okay, you subtract 8 to 10 out of 82. You're talking 10% of the games. And it's just a further reinforcement that these seasons that have way too many games, they're totally fine just being out in the open, revealing what's underneath the kimono, saying, yeah, all these games don't matter. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where, like, a guy is hurt and, like, just does need to miss two games.
True.
And that's it.
That's very true.
And, like, when guys are only missing eight, like, a guy playing 70 games, like, that is more than plenty. Like, that's enough.
I think it should be 82.
Attendance. If you look at a guy's, like, if you look at a guy's at basketball reference page and he plays 70, 72 games every year, you're not going to go, well, this guy never plays.
Right.
This guy doesn't play enough. Mm-hmm. And no, that's a perfectly normal amount or good amount to play. I mean, the 65 game rule, and like, you can make a argument that it like actually backfired last year because you had a guy like Tyrese Haliburton who should have missed time, but he would literally just start games, or he would start games for the Pacers, play like, there's a minimum that you have to play, so you can't play like 5 1-minute games and then count
first.
You have to play 20 minutes, and he would play 20 minutes and he would limp around looking terrible. And then sit, so he could play. He could get to 65 games, and by the end of the season, he was broken down because he was playing while hurt, so he could get to 65 games, so he could make All NBA, so he could sign a super max contract.
That's
and it's
annoying.
Like you put the incentive in there for him to have to injure himself to get a contract that will be a bad contract because he injured himself trying to get it.
That's a fair counterpoint.
like,
but I still hate this.
And that's a bigger that honestly is a bigger deal with tying the all pro or the all NBA stuff to supermax escalators. Like, a lot of this is just like I don't know.
But I mean, I'm going to make a not at all similar comparison here. Mm-hmm. But you know, for all that I roll my eyes at Kobe Bryant being put at the top player in the NBA history conversation, Kobe played every game. Kobe played with broken fingers. Kobe was somebody who was out there more often than not. He would gut it out if he was injured. And I think that he is the exact kind of person that this league misses because he's one of those guys that would say, soft. He would call this out.
I mean, LeBron played every game of his career.
And I'll give LeBron – I give LeBron credit for that. LeBron's durability, James Harden's durability, for God's sake. Like, there's an element of it, but now it's just becoming more accepted that you don't have to play in every single game, and these players get all entitled when you call them out on it.
Yeah.
And the Rockets are a bad example of this because they do play hard, but last night was annoying. You played the Thunder, and no one played.
And it's so funny that this is, like, viewed as a, like, player issue. Like, as it's the players that are lazy – where the whole, like, load management and resting your starters thing started with the San Antonio Spurs doing it on purpose, sitting all their starters for a game at Miami. It was going to be a finals rematch on TNT, and they sat all their starters for it. And that was, like, the, like, first big time
rock
where
bottom.
A team just, like, was, like, open middle finger to, like, this game does not – I know you think this game matters. This game does not matter to us.
And I think they had even old – as part of one of the injury updates.
Yeah, they would have
it was a middle finger.
Yeah, it's just like, obviously this does not matter. We're the San Antonio Spurs.
But the middle finger is directed towards the fans too. Like, I think that they were being playful with it, but you have to
realize.
No,
that is what the middle – and it's like, it gets framed as like, these guys don't want to play, where it's also the teams don't want to play them.
Yeah.
Because they want guys fresh for the playoffs. Because if you're going to be the team that's like, no, we play all 82 games – Well, the second, like, we see it with the Knicks. The Knicks are a perfect example of this. Last season, all their guys play, it's a classic Tibbs team where they play all these minutes and they run out of gas in the playoffs. They all get hurt and then run out of gas in the second round of the playoffs. Like that, and they lose to a terrible Indiana team.
Well, I mean, but they're also the Knicks. Like, you know, they're just not
Yes.
But I get what you're saying.
But it's like these teams just, like, when you do view it as, like, no, we're just going to grind through the season every game, like, you don't benefit. So, like, the Kobe Bryant of next, like, the next Kobe Bryant to, like, fix this, it has to be a perception thing. It has to be that playing all 82 games is, like, a good thing. And how do you get that?
Is there a fix? Right. I don't know what the perfect fix is.
Because you do that by...
You tried it already.
You're the best player who plays every game, and you're the best player by winning championships. But winning championships almost comes at direct cost of the regular season.
That's the problem.
Because you put more emphasis on the championships.
Conceptually, you can tie the two together, even if that's not physically possible. You can't really prove it, but you can say, and you'll have the benefit of Captain Hindsight and the fact that it's just so hard to win a championship, you can say afterwards, oh, well, this is why.
Yeah.
This is why they didn't make it through. And maybe it was correct. In the case of the Knicks, no, that's a good example. But it's one of those things where it's become a thing where it's advantageous to not give a bleep. That's how I look at it.
It's just like the fix is to play less games. Like, that is the fix. Like I said earlier, people do not want to watch 82 games.
82 is a lot. I think 70
people
would be
don't
fine.
Want it.
70 would be fine. These records are all being broken with all the threes and all the things that are happening in terms of total points. So
or you could do points per game. Like, there's a very easy thing of how we figure out, you know.
Who's the best.
We don't do
stuff.
Most hits. We do batting average.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, live at the Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational. I got a question on the Twitch. Where's Joe? Joe has stepped away from the show, but he still is a part of our ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 family. I believe he's wandering around somewhere out here. Come on out. It's Mardi Gras. Drink with us. Get ready for Reba later tonight at the Houston Rodeo. I'm going in there tonight. We'll see how that goes. We might have a report for you on the date update side of things tomorrow. We'll see. Up next on this little radio program of ours, a damning update about C.J. Stroud from the NFL Combine.
Huh?
Stick around to hear it. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's occasional invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
Matthew Berry covers the NFL for NBC Sports, and I suppose he has taken up the mantle where Peter King left of the longest effing column ever about the NFL. He wrote a column titled Matthew Berry's 25 Most Interesting Things He Heard at the 2025 NFL Combine. And just like Peter King before him, it takes forever to get to the effing point. I think before you get to the top 25 rumors, Sean, we're talking about 37 paragraphs.
Before. Oh, my God.
It's a lot.
Talking about what he had for breakfast that day?
Did he have Allagash White like Peter King always did? But the 23rd thing that he heard at the Combine, and this is honestly, of all the 25 things that he heard, the shortest little blurb. I asked a Houston source what happened to C.J. Stroud last year. Quote. Simple. The offensive line was bad, and then he got the yips. End quote.
Whoa.
Groundbreaking.
That is also so short compared to all the rest of these. the rest of these are like several sentences.
This is one of the longest columns,
just a quote,
I've ever seen. And, I mean, this is a lot like the time
Look how long 25 is.
25 is many, many paragraphs with a lot of random bolded words here.
Yeah, just everyone who's in the NFL, their name is bolded.
I love how he just wrote a quote version of the very simple and obvious explanation for his struggles last year.
He got hit a lot. And got he got David Carr. Is basically what he wrote.
Yeah, that's
he got,
exactly
for
what he
one
wrote.
Year, he got David Carr.
That's exactly what he wrote.
Yeah, no, great stuff, Matthew Berry.
Thank you, Matthew Berry, for contributing to Texans discourse.
I guess I guess I won't draft C.J. Stroud in fantasy this year.
Until you see some offensive linemen. No, that's for sure. By the way, it's mock draft season. I guess we're on the third mock drafts for most mock drafters.
Second, I think this is only second for Lance.
Fine. But this aggregator account that I believe is – I truly believe that this person found like an AI image of a woman and is getting at sidelines.
This is very listen, Sarah. If you're real, good for you. We don't know.
I don't think she's real.
Yes, I think this is a catfish version of Dov Kleiman.
100% with this person wearing a clearly photoshopped Texans jersey. It seems to be an attractive fake person, but I really want to see the DMs. Like, is this like on one side? Is this, you know, posting on one side? Does it just repost things that it sees about the Houston Texans, and then on the other, is it like a honeypot for like the worst DMs possible, and like just people sending Schmenzer photos and stuff and trying to slide in?
That'd be
hey, report on these nuts. I'm just asking the question, Sean.
It's a long and hard off season.
I'm just asking the question. But anyway, so listen, we're not trying to be slurred sideline, Sarah. She put together a list of all of the Texans' possibilities based off of mock drafts. Most people have the Texans selecting Alabama offensive lineman Tyler Booker or Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Egbuka or Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden or Ohio State tackle Josh Simmons or Texas offensive lineman Kelvin Banks or Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden or Gray Zabel, an offensive lineman from North Dakota State.
Great name.
I like that name, but I also am a fan of Luther Burden.
That's a great name.
Luther Burden's a great name. Do I know anything about any of these guys? Not really. Matthew Golden ran a fast 40 time, and Emeka Egbuka, I'm assuming, has caught a pass from C.J. Stroud before?
I think so, yes.
That's all I got. What did Lance do?
Lance had Kelvin Banks.
He had the
Texans trading up from 25 to 16.
Wow!
To draft Kelvin Banks,
a mock draft, mock trade.
Yes.
How much do they have to give up to get him?
I don't think he outlined. I don't think he had the Jimmy Jones value chart up to make sure it all made sense. But yeah, he had them going up to get Kelvin Banks, which I think is interesting. Is in that trade up, in that mock trade up that he had, the next two picks were Tyler Warren and Matthew Golden.
Oh.
So they traded up for an offensive tackle who they're going to put at guard, according to in Zuerlein's world, they're going to put him at guard over a tight end, one of the best tight end prospects, and a wide receiver.
I'm going to read the most erotic parts of Lance Zuerlein's scouting report, and we will be bringing this segment back. Because I'm weird. Don't care. I think draft season's overcovered as it is, so at least let me have some fun with it. Technically sound and scrappy in the ground game. You know what that is. The leverage and strain to hold his own.
Okay.
At the point.
Okay.
The slide quickness to deal with speed. Ooh. He has to be more proactive attacking long-limbed attackers. He needs to improve his hand placement. smooth slides at a steady pace.
Oh, okay.
Refuses to unnecessarily open an inside lane.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Dips and drives hips into the opponent, creating leverage. I'm an idiot.
I feel like offensive line is where Lance gets the dirtiest.
Lacks desired thickness.
Oh, what?
That's not good. That's not good. Sloppy hand placement and tardy resets, which impact his sustain. So there you go.
I don't like the poor hand placement. That seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Labors to keep power from compressing his edges. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means in either context.
No, I don't either. So there you go, guys. There you go.
So Kelvin Banks.
Mock draft season is back, and Lance Zierlein has the Texans take Kelvin Banks, an offensive lineman from Texas. And this isn't Mac Brown, Texas.
No.
This is Steve Sarkisian, Texas.
Yeah.
Which did underachieve, honestly, considering how well the Texas players performed at the combine.
Yeah, you know? It does become a little bit of an issue when you – I mean, I guess it was like they lost in the semifinal, so it's not like they massively underachieved. But it is funny of like, wait, so they, you know, Matthew Golden now might be the best receiver in
right.
in the draft.
Because he ran the fastest 40 the yeah. same way that Xavier Worthy did.
They have one of the best defensive backs in Sade Barron. They have a first-round offensive lineman. They have a quarterback who apparently threw against air very well. Congratulations to Quinn Ewers for that. Like, it does become like, wait, how'd this add up
right.
to, like, especially not just, like, you know, the end result's obviously good. Like, they're a top five team all year and made it final
to,
four.
Right, the very end.
But there is a little bit of, like, how it looked. You're like, huh.
It felt sloppy at times.
Shouldn't have looked a little bit better.
And it's sort of in the same way where you're hoping for the Texans that Chris Strauser, the offensive line coach, and their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, were the reason the offense stunk so much.
Yeah.
And that the offensive line in front can be better with better coaching. You're hoping that Texas is just way better with Arch than
yeah.
they are with Quinn Ewers,
and
who was pretty good for them.
You have to be buying the I'm just going to assume the Quinn Ewers agent spin out mm-hmm. of out of the draft process, where he's been playing. He played hurt basically since like week two of last season. That was not the Quinn Ewers you saw, was not the fully healthy Quinn Ewers that an NFL team will be drafting sometime in day two or three.
Texas posted on their Instagram, Texas speed, and the word looks blurry.
Nice.
Texas is the only team to ever have four individual players run a sub 4.4 40-yard dash in a single NFL draft. Matthew Golden, Jaden Blue, Sade Barron, and yep. Isaiah Bond. Over the last 2 years, the Longhorns have had four different receivers run sub 4.4 and reach a top speed of 23.5 miles per hour plus in the 40-yard dash, worthy, of course, Isaiah Bond, Adonai Mitchell, Matthew Golden, and Jaden Blue, and they have three of the eight fastest 40-yard dash times in combine history, Xavier Worthy, Marquise Goodwin, and Matthew Golden. So that's nice, Texas. You
that
got that.
Nice.
You got that. Kind of lame to brag about the speed, but
Texas is back, folks!
They're
you.
Fast,
thank
at
you.
Least.
I was
Texas
at that game.
Texas is fast.
Texas is fast, folks.
I was at that game, too.
Yeah, that was
it was a great time. Great
7
night.
Years before we knew each other.
Yeah,
forever.
One of the. I brought a date to that game. Had a great,
wow.
great time in
wow.
downtown Austin.
My
afterwards.
Friend passed out in the first quarter of that game. I had to carry him to the not carry him, but like, you know, no man left behind him.
I mean,
to the it was like 100 degrees.
Yeah, but there was a night game.
It was 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it was late. It was dark
yeah,
at the
it
end.
It was a long day.
Yeah, it was.
It was a long day.
Okay, fine. Sean Mapes, I'm Paul Gallant, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to weigh in on what I thought was a disgusting act, just in the grand scheme of sports. The Rockets not playing as many of their guys as they could have last night, especially given that they're all healthy tonight. Outside of Fred VanVleet, they play the Indiana Pacers later. You can. Up next, our 10-minute drill. In the 10-minute drill, some drama from the NFL Combine over an interview with one of the top quarterback prospects, and it looks like Matt Stafford actually was very close to leaving town. Stick around. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. Texas is back, folks!
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant.
The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Today is the deadline for NFL teams to give players the franchise tag. 3 p.m. to be specific. The Bengals gave T. Higgins the franchise tag for a second straight year. If they keep him or don't sign him to an extension, they will pay him $26.16 million. Last year, the Chiefs tagged and then traded with Jarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans, so theoretically possible that Higgins gets moved. I have a hard time imagining that the Bengals are going to pay him $26.16 this year. Also, I guess the one team that could potentially give out another franchise tag is the Minnesota Vikings, who are interested in keeping Sam Darnold, but they are unlikely to tag him. It has been a rather busy day in the NFL. First off, Davante Adams released by the New York Jets. The Texans should at the very least make a phone call. I will wonder how much the Texans would have to pay for him. He would have counted $38.3 million on the salary cap. That would have been more than any receiver in the NFL. So in doing so, the Jets cleared $29.9 million in cap space. We'll see if Adams ends up with a contender or signs with an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team. The Cowboys made a move today. I guess this is selective aggression, as termed by Stephen Jones. They gave a four-year, $80 million deal to defensive tackle Osa Odihizua. I don't know if I said
that
right.
That was perfect.
Damn.
That's how his mom says it.
It is?
Yeah.
That sounds sarcastic. That sounds very sarcastic, and I don't appreciate that when I'm trying to pronounce names that are tough. Someone posted on our Twitch a tight end from Nebraska. His name is Equisquisitine Buble Schwinslow. That's real? I don't know. Sagittariot Jefferspin? Is that real? I think that these are being made up on our Twitch, and honestly.
Yeah. Feels like it's the Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah. You know what? I honestly think those might have been some names of the Key and Peele sketch. Sometimes we get caught in the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Jonah Jackson, also, the Bears traded a sixth-round pick to the Rams in exchange for him. So offensive linemen are getting traded. Some are getting the franchise tag, and some are getting released. Are the Texans going to be aggressive on that front? One last note, Saquon Barkley got a two-year, $41.2 million contract extension, making him the NFL's first $20 million per year running back. He can earn an additional $15 million in incentives and escalators, $36 million fully guaranteed at signing. That's pretty impressive for a running back. We'll see if it works out going forward for the Eagles, but it certainly worked out in year one. 2,005 yards rushing in the regular season, 2,504 total after 499 more in the postseason. So there you go. Lots of moves happening today across the NFL in the 10-minute drill. Sean McVay, after the Rams restructured Matt Stafford's contract with no details as to what said restructure was, they say they are going to take it a year at a time with Stafford. I feel like Stafford's the one taking it a year at a time. I don't see how the Rams do better than Stafford in the short term, because I assume that with Stafford, they're always going to be middle of the pack, always 7 wins at the minimum. Stafford's going to play through injuries. He's one of the toughest players we've ever seen play quarterback in the league. Like, the guy's had like broken back before, played through that. The Giants apparently had offered the Rams enough for a trade to happen, and they were going to pay him more money. But Stafford backed out and decided to stay with L.A. for less money, even though Joe Shane had apparently hired Matt Stafford's brother-in-law to make him come and sweeten the deal a little bit. I like that.
I also like it.
The Giannis Antetokounmpo deal.
It's Rick Brunson with the Knicks too, where they hired him as an assistant coach, and then hey, that offseason, hey, they signed Jalen Brunson. I don't know how much I believe this. Where like it all seems a little too like, yep, things are going to be perfect, and he was going to, they traded enough to get him, they were going to pay him more, but and he was going to play with his or play for his brother-in-law.
It's too good to be true.
It's like so
they're pulling the Jets.
Why did he turn this down then? Like why? Like I don't understand why he would have turned it down.
The Giants suck too, and
too. At the end of the day, that's what the leak won't tell you. It's like all this was so good. This offer was so good, but then Matt Stafford at the last second was like,
"Nah,
wait, I'd rather take less money to play with the Rams
and stay in L.A.
As opposed to play with the Jets."
The Jets and Giants are the two like biggest cluster bleeps. And it's crazy that they share the same city. Like, the poor people of New York who already have to deal with the choking-ass New York Yankees. At least the baseball team is competent. These two football teams are constantly flexing about near moves. Yeah, we're fielding phone calls on Devontae Adams. They cut his ass 24 hours later because no one's going to take on that contract. Oh, yeah, we had the best offer for Matt Stafford. Oh, you did? Well, he still turned you down.
Bumps. Yeah, no, it is crazy that between the two teams, like, what, have they made the playoffs in, like, a decade?
Yeah.
I know the
it's
Jets
been,
haven't.
The Giants with Daniel Jones, which got him an extension.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Oh, Brian Daboll got Coach of the Year.
They won a playoff game, actually.
They did. It was, it was
they
pretty
beat
crazy.
The Vikings, I think.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
That's, wow. Yeah, that's such a terrible run of football in the nation's biggest city. That also doesn't care about college football. So, like,
oh, not at all.
All they have is these terrible Sundays with these teams.
That's it. It's rough. It's rough. Yeah. Like, oh, it's root for the Bills. Like, but you can't even get the Bills in market necessarily if they're on the same at the same time. Debo Samuel, now a Washington Commander, he acknowledged he was too heavy in 2024. So, Debo Samuel heavy is not us heavy. He was listed at 215, but apparently he actually was 225 pounds.
Oh, I weigh less than that.
I do too. I do too. He regularly has his conditioning questioned. Like,
really?
Regularly. Oh, yeah, this happened a couple of years ago.
Where
he was, like, sending workout videos to Kyle Shanahan, which is kind of weird.
About that story.
Like, so that he would show that he was trying to do his best to stay in shape. But he admitted he was out of shape in San Francisco. He said he had no bad blood with the 49ers, but it sounds like the 49ers were, like, pissed at him post the crap Super Bowl 58 performance against the Chiefs. And forward. So there you go. That's the 10-minute drill, everybody. Everything that's going down around the National Football League. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes to my left. We are live at the Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational with all sorts of awesome delectables here. Lunch from Brown Bag Deli. Dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. Beer from Carbach. I gotta find some of that. It is Mardi Gras after all. And big thanks to everyone else who helped sponsor this: Houston Powder Coaters, Game Day Men's Health, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, HR&P, Access Vascular Health, Dream Rate Mortgage, Aqueduct Plumbing Company, you can count on us, Beatbox, Burritos, and Amex Pharmacy. So there you go. 10-minute drill in the books. I'm asking the question again. Cam Smith, what's the obstacle keeping him from making the Astros opening day roster? I get it, he's young, but give me something more than like John Singleton and Jake Myers are in the way. And this award-winning new Astro has quite an interesting take on why where he's at now with the Astros is going to give him the best possible chance to succeed. I don't know that I buy it, but it's quite an explanation. Stick around. Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's occasional invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Twitch and the text line are still having some fun with probably fake names. Honestly, we should just lean into fake names for the NFL draft coming up. Just pretend that we know exactly what we're talking about, because really, life is all about confidence, and you can go very far places if you just boldface lie, and then when called on it, change the subject and gaslight. So I think we're going to do a lot of that going forward. We're going to pretend to be the draft show. And yeah, like, you actually have a draft show here at ESPN 97.5, you know, featuring Lance Zierlein, who's an actual draft analyst. But I'm just going to make up names. I'm going to be so confident sounding when I talk about them. You're going to believe that these guys are the people the Houston Texans should draft. So how about that? We're getting closer and closer, guys, to the Astros opening up their season against the New York Mets, 23 days away. Give me that bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
There's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
So once again, asking the question that I asked in hour number one, give me a good reason, if you can, as to why Cam Smith, who had a bases-loaded triple yesterday, had a two-home run performance as well in spring training. You got to tell me why, and with a good reason, why he cannot make the opening day roster, why it's impossible for him to make the opening day roster. Because some of the baseball heads out there are saying that, and as I say all the time, baseball frightens me, you know? I'm just a baseball casual football guy who, you know, talks about it because that's the best team in town. I do it in a very entertaining fashion. To toot my own horn, yes. To pat myself on the back, yes.
Toot your own trombone.
Sean, that does sound vaguely sexual, though. It does sound vaguely sexual. Whatever. That's not the point. The point is this. I need a real reason. Service time manipulation, I'd almost accept, but Jim Crane says the window's always open while here. If he has a great spring, I do not think that the Astros should say, well, yeah, but we need to see you do it at the AA level, the AAA level. Like, if he looks good, screw it. Give him a chance. You're putting Jose Altuve in left field. Oh, well, you don't know where you'd put him. I figure it out. If the guy's hitting, if the guy's an aircraft carrier, and if Dana Brown is consistent with his love of playing young guys early, it should at the very least be on the table. That's all I'm saying here. Also possibly on the table, I wonder if this guy will be the Astros' second baseman this year. This is from a piece by Brian McTaggart for MLB.com. And you know what? If this is what it takes for Brendan Rodgers to be a better, more consistent hitter, I hope that he's right. Quote from Brian McTaggart. Brendan Rodgers thinks a change of scenery and altitude could help him make an impact in Houston. Quote, I've been a C-level hitter my whole life until I got to Coors. I think going there maybe once a year instead of playing 80 games, I think it's going to benefit me. Just picking up spin and knowing where my swing needs to start and where my swing needs to be. I mean, the way he's talking about it, playing at Coors Field, which is an elevation, beautiful park, I went to it last year, versus playing at, you know, Houston, which is right on sea level, could be the kind of difference that you would have if you were to, say, I don't know, play a sport on planet Earth and on the moon with a little less gravity. I don't know that I 100% buy it, but I like the spin zone. For a guy who has won a gold glove before, with second base theoretically up for grabs, with Altuve getting the majority of work in left field and the plan for him to start the majority of games in left field. C-level Brendan Rodgers.
That's not C, like I'm a C, like C-plus level.
C-level,
like,
as in
S-E-A.
I've been a C-S-E-A level hitter my whole life. I've never seen that before. And
does that mean?
I mean, he hit well at Coors Field, so perhaps he got too used to hitting at Coors Field.
I really don't understand. Like, I understand what he's trying to say. I don't understand how it's true at all that this guy's the first Brendan Rodgers is the first guy in history where it's like, actually, Coors Field was bad for me. actually, I'm a hitter that could that
I got too used to
that,
it.
Yeah, that I'm so used to easy mode that all the other games I was bad at. Maybe that's what he's saying. Because he had good, like you said, he had good numbers at Coors.
Yeah.
So I don't understand like the. I guess that's what it is that. I was used to playing on easy mode. That way, when I went to the sea level, it was all hard. But I was born in the sea level, molded by it.
It's so funny. I mean, I hope he's right. This is one of my favorite.
So. What if he's awesome?
It would be. Hey, listen, Dana Brown wins again. I mean, it's just amusing to see that quote.
It's just such a
really. If you're a sea level player, like, interesting,
it,
man.
It is. So, second week of spring training, like, we have to write a story about a guy. And it's like, here's why he's better off not playing at Coors Field.
Yo ho, yo ho, the sea level life for me. I'm Brendan Rodgers and I couldn't hit a damn at Coors Field. But now, here I am, and every at-bat will be at sea level a meal. That was terrible. But
I could see you.
Tried.
Remember when people got into the sea shanties?
Yeah. Oh, let's bring sea shanties back.
I could see Paul getting down with some
Brendan Rodgers needs a sea shanty because he's a sea level player.
As his walk-up song?
Yeah. Yo, ho, ho.
Drunken sailor again. Drunken sailor.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Fantastic. All right, guys. We do have a couple of responses because I asked the question, what's a legitimate reason for Cam Smith to not make the opening day roster if he continues to play like this? Because some people are saying it's not going to happen. And okay, fine. You know baseball. I don't. From the 936, they want Cam to get more experience playing in the outfield, more experience against higher level pitching than he has been facing in college in the low minors. I also guess to a degree spring training because I don't know what pitchers
you're
going
to face. It varies so much that like you might face Justin Verlander or you might face some random schmo.
Right, who might have a picture on MLB.com, but it might be from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You're not 100% sure.
Wearing a different hat.
Eric the Driver brings up Chaz, Jake, and John on the bench. They are out of options, I think, for John Singleton at the very least. I don't know if that's the case for Jake and for Chaz anymore. But, yeah, if they want to keep John Singleton around, like, that's the reason to do it. I just don't think John Singleton should be an obstacle to Cam Smith on the
To me, the obstacle is Chaz McCormick. And if you just want to say that he doesn't have that Cam Smith doesn't have enough experience playing outfield, like, okay, I could – by that, I share the same sentiment as you, where it's like, all right, we're not asking him to learn how to defuse a bomb here.
Yeah.
Just stand in right field and gun guys out.
Yeah.
He plays third base. I assume he has a good arm. So that I think that is the most, like, that's the one I'm willing to buy the most. It isn't some, well, you can't get rid of John Singleton Chaz McCormick. It's just he's not ready to play that position because – do you want to have him at third and then move Isak Paredes to second base? Mm-hmm. What they keep talking about doing, but I don't know, like, he in any of these spring training games, has he played second base yet? Like, I don't know how.
I don't either.
I don't know how real his second base acumen is. And now you got into a spot where if you do that, it's like, so everyone's just playing out of position now? Like that.
Let's get wacky.
Yeah.
Bunch of swingers.
But if you were to move Paredes, and this is not the first time we talked about this, if you move Paredes to second base and Altuve to outfield, wouldn't it have just been easier to move Paredes to outfield and just skip a step in teaching a franchise icon, Jose Altuve, a new position? I don't know. I think at the end of the day, you just need more of a sample size from Cam Smith, that this is the kind of hitter he is at this level before it becomes real of he's going to play in the majors.
That is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. 23 days away from Astros opening day. A couple other little thoughts. A photo with Alex Bregman and the Red Sox. It's like a state media photo, like where they all having a good time and hanging out with each other. That was posted. And ESPN, the reason baseball broke up with them, ESPN was going to drop payments to baseball from $550 million to $200
million. Wow.
What an FU by ESPN. Well, we'll see how it works out for them. It's a bold move to move away entirely. But baseball claims that they broke up with them. Up next, Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The New York Jets released Devontae Adams. Is there mutual interest between C.J. Stroud and Devontae Adams? Listen for yourself on the other side. We are live at the Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 benefiting kids' meals. I'm Paul Gallant. Don't go anywhere.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.